Welcome, everybody. So I kind of want to leave that in. Welcome, everybody, to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its
upcoming games.
Yes, you even got the ending. I'm joined by the God of Thunder, the Trophy Hunter, the Gallivanting Man, the Bouncy Boy, the Trophy Connoisseur, Jordan. How are you?
Good, thank you, Dan. How are you, champion? He's disappeared.
He's gone. He's gone.
He's disappeared out of screen. We don't know where he's gone. How are you doing? I don't want to acknowledge you yet because I'm waiting for Vike to come back. But he's just disappeared out of screen.
How are you doing? Just gone. Wow.
And we're also joined by Vike, the Stealth King. The Stealth King, the Professor of Gaming, the Solid Snake to my Nathan Drake, the Sam Fisher of podcasts, the voice of the voiceless, the Metal Gear fanboy, and the creator of the Dan and the Gaming YouTube channel, Vikarth. How are you?
Doing well.
Why did you get so many fucking nicknames?
I don't know. The Sam Fisher of, I like that one. What was that one?
Sam Fisher of podcasting, I think it was.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Can I ask, how come we've still never seen 6 days of Fallujah or whatever it was?
Mate.
Finished it. What are you talking about? I beat the campaign.
Did it come out?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What'd you give it, Dan, out of 10?
I gave it a 7 out of 10. Ooh, too much seven. Water.
Too much water. I didn't know Ubisoft.
No, it was an early access, so they didn't fully release it.
That doesn't count.
By the way, I'm the survival horror aficionado, the Nathan Drake of podcasts, Dan the Man, and the employee of Vikarth's YouTube channel, Dan Allen Gaming. And we are.
I wasn't there when that in joke started, but goodness me, it makes me laugh.
It is good.
We are the PlayStation Avengers.
No, I think we're the PlayStation Justice League. Ew. I'm a DC guy, Dan.
And seeing as. Look, I need a couple of impressions before we get started here. So, Jordan, I need you to just throw out a couple more. First one, Bane.
Welcome to the PlayStation 5 podcast.
Sorting Hat. Korg.
We're on a podcast today, Brie, talking about all the news
Mark Wahlberg.
And the reviews we've got for you. Hey, how you doing? Oh, my God. Can't believe it. So happy to be here.
Watto.
Hey, welcome.
And last one, I don't know why this is written down. Ubisoft guy. Who the fuck is that?
Is that Eves?
Okay.
We're still excited. Oh, I can't even do it. I can't even do it.
That was a good one.
That's funny. And Vikarth, Emperor Palpatine.
No.
Michael Caine.
Master Wayne, the Batmobile is ready.
Kratos.
Boy.
Nice. You got any others?
Nah, I think my Michael Caine is probably the best of these guys.
I love one of my favorite lines from Michael Caine is so throwaway and so dumb. You know when he's talking about the size of the ruby that the thief stole?
Yeah. Size of a tangerine.
Size of a tangerine. Something about that that just makes me giggle.
They just want to watch the world.
You sound like Penguin from Batman Arkham.
Yes.
If you just tweak it a little bit.
The Lamborghini, then. Much more subtle.
You honestly sound like Penguin. Nolan North's Penguin. You just got to work on that. I reckon you can get there. One impression leads to another, you know?
It does.
I've got, can you guess this character?
Mike Wazowski, always watching.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. That's my favorite one. Guys, we've got some news. Who wants to deliver the news? Guys, this is our last episode.
The final episode. What?
We've had a massive fight backstage. We've all come together here to put on a brave face for the. To succumb to the PR nightmare.
It is sort of like Fast and Furious 7, where Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel hated each other so much that they couldn't film a scene together. So if you watch that movie carefully, you'll never see them in the same shot. There will be jump cuts to make it look like they're in the same scene, but they were never in the same shot. I think it's Furious 7 or Furious 8. So it is sort of like that with these guys. So the way we've done it is actually Dan is doing a recording with me, and then he is superimposing a separate recording where Dan is doing one with Jordan, and we're predicting each other's responses. So that's how we're doing it.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All seriousness, we made the decision a few weeks ago just because
Jordan has to come in here because
I'm just like, immature. We've got to rein it in here. Yeah, we made the decision a few weeks ago that, you know, we're three very busy individuals and like our lives look extremely different than they did when we first started doing this. And when I was first invited to come along and start doing this, and when you guys started doing it, you know, our lives have changed so much since then. And as people have listened, have probably noticed, we found it a lot harder to find times to get together to be able to record. Or we've struggled to get all three of us there. We've done lots of just two episodes, like of the two of us on, or we've like skipped weeks while we're waiting to try and find time. So it seemed like it was as good a time as any, finish on a high. We still, I can't speak for the other two. I still love doing the podcast. And when we decided to call it quits, I was pretty flat just because I do love doing it. But while we were waiting to record this one tonight, I was like sitting on the couch and I was like starting to fall asleep already. And it was only like 6:30 and I just had my dinner. I'm like, I think having one less commitment is a pretty good idea, because I don't imagine that feeling is going away anytime soon. So, you know, I think, it just felt like it was pretty much time for us to call it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we started this, Dan and I, during COVID? Maybe just before. And then, Jordan, you came in, I think, probably towards the end of COVID. Oh, no, it was probably towards the middle,
It was in the middle because it was when you had your appendix problem.
That's right. And I was off for weeks and you came in and saved the day.
Jordan came in pretty early.
Yeah.
Jordan. It's like episode 20 or something. Maybe even sooner.
I reckon in between 15 and 20. I mean, might have a bit of a look through.
You were there the whole time. But Jordan's right.
Let's put it this way. I don't remember when he wasn't on.
Me neither. And I think the commitments that we all have, like none of us are getting, you know, we're not monetizing this. This isn't a job for any of us. It's purely a hobby thing that we started and we're completely happy with that and we've enjoyed it. We've stayed in touch. This is a sort of a really good way for us to have stayed in touch, to sort of, have that passion for gaming, to keep that alive and find joy in that. We were talking before the show. We all said that we've all got married over the period of this podcast. We all started off unmarried men and became.
That's all it took to end the podcast.
We all got married over this time. So commitments, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Our wives want us to do it. Trust me.
Yeah,
they want to get rid of us.
It's just something that we found difficult to do, but it's really sad. Like I'm pretty flat too. Like I loved it. I love doing the podcast and, just being able to talk with you guys and talk about games and news and that sort of stuff, you know, being giddy over playing Baldur's Gate and Helldivers and wanting to share that with you guys and obviously the audience. It's, you know, it's sad, but it's something that, we're looking forward to the greater things of our lives and,
yeah. You got to understand, Vic, this started with 6 days of Fallujah. I invited you on my channel, your channel, Daniel and Gaming, for a little piece on that game. It ended up being viewed by 500,000 people. And now we can go back to doing that where I don't pay you and make hundreds of thousands of dollars off your work. How does that sound, guys? Jordan, you're good, coming on too.
Yeah, I was never invited on. Get me on. We'll get our Rocket League. We'll start streaming our Rocket League nights and we'll just see how cancelled we can get. we shouldn't get cancelled. I don't think calling people donkeys and weasels and that sort of stuff will get us cancelled.
Yeah, some of the other stuff might.
Hey, that's only the teams we play against. Some of the teams we play against have the blackest tumor.
Yeah, 9/11 flight crew was one of them.
Yeah, that was bad. That's not good. Also, I came on at episode 17, which was...
That is so early.
That's early, yeah.
October 2020.
The first 16 was shit anyway. So honestly. Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually, the first 175. Finally, we're doing a good one today.
We're hitting our stride now.
Dan, how do you feel about the ending of this show?
Yeah, it is sad. We've had a lot of fun over the years. We've recorded, I reckon, 300 hours worth of footage. And I was going back through the old episodes and getting a laugh from some, you know, all the stuff we got wrong over the years and right, mostly wrong. But we've had a lot of fun. I think you got to go out on top, and I think we're on top. We're doing really well. But as you said, it's just a time thing. We still love gaming. We still love each other. But it was time to hang it up for now. I mean, you never know. You never know. I'll never say never. But for now, it was a good time to hang it up.
Yeah. There's definitely things I'm going to miss. Like, there's been times since we said we were going to hang it up that I was like, whether it was playing Helldivers or just like starting a new game, like I started playing Dave the Diver and I was like, oh man, I can't wait to chat to the guys about this. And, you know, we'll probably get a chance to chat about that later. But yeah, there's things like that. I think about like all the showcases and stuff and how one of my, I think my favorite moment, and we might get to this in this episode as well, like our favorite moments from the podcast. I think my favorite moment with doing this podcast the entire time we've been doing it was when we watched the showcase where Wolverine was announced. I think that was like the mid-year Summer Games Fest one. I can't remember exactly.
Was I live on the channel or was it just us?
No, I think we watched it together live. And then I can't remember that bit exactly. But yeah, that because that was like one of the hypest showcases we'd had in a while. And the fact
with
that
Spider-Man
we were there,
2 and...
Yeah, with all that sort of stuff. And then we came and talked about... Like, and then we recorded a podcast pretty much straight after. And it was just like, that was one of my favorite moments. I think about that often. It was that like at this bench that I was sitting at now, and it was just so much fun and the excitement that we had. Because that was probably the first time since like the PlayStation 4 reveal, which is another moment. We weren't recording that at all. But it's a moment I remember that is ingrained in my memory that we're all losing our minds about the price of the PlayStation 4 when it came out. Like, I remember coming home from uni early so that we could watch it. And yeah, just crazy stuff like that. That's one of my favorite moments that I think that I'll hold is just how hyped we were, how excited we were. And, you know, getting to do it with YouTube was the reason it was as good as it was and as fun.
Trying to find what episode that is.
Yeah, I think it was in 2021.
I mean, there's just been so many. I think my favorite moments are always the times where we come together after some sort of showcase or some sort of event where we can just have so much to dive into and talk about, whether that's even Xbox stuff or PlayStation State of Plays or, you know, those events and that sort of thing. They've always been so much fun. I love our top 20 or top lists. One of my favorite ones is our top, I think we did our top PS4 games and we were talking about that. You know, we did our top PS5 games of 2022, most anticipated games, doing the fantasy drafts and all that sort of stuff together. It's just so much fun. And I love doing reviews, you know, back when Dan and I did Ghost of Tsushima, spoiler cast, or when we did Hogwarts Legacy recently, or it's just, oh man, like there's just so many good memories. Talking about the TV shows, like the Last of Us TV show. Oh man, I've really enjoyed, I never came into an episode like annoyed or flat, and I never left an episode being like, that was so boring or that was so frustrating or why did I have to do that? I always left happier than I came in, and I always came in happy. So I always, I always loved doing it. Yeah.
What was your favorite episode? Do you remember?
I don't know. The spoiler casts have always been good. Like, I remember doing The Last of Us with you, Dan, or Ghost of Tsushima, or the top 20 episodes we all of us three did, or the showcase stuff we would. Yeah, I don't know if there's a specific one, but I think it's one of those.
When did we get Kyle on? What's that?
That was episode 100, wasn't it? Well, 100. Wasn't that the milestone episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it?
That episode I was speaking about was 68, which was in September of 21.
So the Kyle episode, did he chime in on the conversation?
Yeah, because I think we talked about Cyberpunk and he was a big fan of it at the time.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's shit. Jackson we had on once. We had on Kieran. And that was about it, I think. No one else.
Yeah, no. And yeah, we had Evander, I guess. That was one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had him on, for one.
Yeah, but I don't think... I was out. The only time, I think I was on with Kyle and never on with any of the other guests. So just beefing with all of them.
Yeah. What have you guys been playing? One last time.
Yeah, let's talk about it. And it's even funny to think about how our habits have changed as well since this podcast started. Because before we started recording this, as we started recording, I'd just moved out of home. It was during lockdown as well, during lockdown stuff. So I had a lot more time on my hands. So I play a lot less than I do now. I have almost become an exclusively Portal player.
Oh,
like Helldivers I've played on my console proper, but pretty much any time I'm playing something on my own, I've played it on my Portal. So yeah, I've started playing Dave the Diver because it came out on PlayStation Plus last week. It's probably been out for a week or so now, and I'm absolutely loving that. And it's exactly the way I like to play games, just like right in front of me. Get all nice and comfortable, have something going on the TV. I'm checking in with both. It's nice and mindless. Mindless makes it sound like a bad thing, but it's just like, it's something that's easy. I think one thing I was finding towards the end of the podcast run that we've been on is that I was playing Final Fantasy VII and I just wasn't enjoying it, but I felt like I had to keep playing because I wanted to be able to talk about it on the podcast. And then it was pretty close to when we said we'd wrap it up that I was like, you know what? I'm not enjoying this. You know, I have a busy day of work and I want to come home and play something I actually enjoy and want to play. And Final Fantasy just wasn't it. And so that was when
Did you ever feel like that?
That's a really good question. I think there might have been times where I would push myself. I think particularly for games where we were trying to aim to finish it by a certain time. But I think you guys were always very understanding and flexible with that sort of stuff. We never tried to, beat some embargo period. We would talk about games often weeks or months later. And so I always felt like I was able to play at my own pace, maybe sometimes a bit rushed, like Jordan, I felt like that. And when you're trying to force yourself to play a game, you lose the joy of or the initial reason of why you're playing the game. And it just can become a bit of a checkbox. I'll say, okay, Far Cry 6 was one where I remember Dan gave me, I think, a code I bought Far Cry 6 and I was playing it just for the podcast. And I was like forcing myself I was putting things on auto drive and, oh man, it just wasn't fun. But
so do you think your habits, because I'm a bit different because I do this for a living. You guys, do you think you will, your habits will change moving forward, not during this podcast. Do you think things will be different or what?
For me, it's like a bit of a good and bad thing because I will definitely have more freedom to take my time with games and enjoy them and have the freedom to, sort of put things down and maybe pick them up later and that sort of thing without the urge of completing them. For instance, when new games come out, like God of War, Ragnarok those sort of things, there's that urge. Now I can take my time. But at the same time, the podcast actually encourages me and spurs me to play more games in a good way. And I think engage with it in a healthy way. So there was that little encouragement. Like I always was excited and giddy when I finished a game to talk about it. So it made me want to play. Like I couldn't wait to finish, for instance, Ratchet and Clank. I couldn't wait to finish Death Stranding or God of War just to talk about it. And that was always a fun element of games, even engaging with games and news and all that. Part of that was so I could read it and then we could talk about it. Like there was a huge motivating factor behind my gaming or recent gaming and gaming news and all that is because of the podcast. So yeah, I guess there's good and bad where the pressure's off, but the motivation is also somewhat not gone, but there's less of a motivating factor has been removed in a way.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I think it will change a little bit. Like, I was really keen on picking up either Rise of the Ronin or Dragon's Dogma. And then I was really thinking about it, and I was thinking about the things that I wasn't enjoying about Final Fantasy. And I think it was more of a lifestyle thing, because I wasn't able to sit down and put in like more than 2 hours at a time. And with a long game like that, if you're not doing that, you know, it's going to take you ages to get through. And I looked at those games and I was like, they're going to be
huge. And you felt like you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's been a big barrier for me in enjoying games probably in the last few years or so, that I'm like, I just want more bite-sized. And I don't mean like 2 hours, but just like more shorter, condensed things that are more quality than anything. So yeah, that's probably one thing that I've noticed will probably change. I probably did play, and this isn't, I don't think this is in a bad sense, but like there are probably some games I was like, I want to be a part of the conversation, so I want to go ahead and play this. And I think that will probably stop a little bit.
What kind of games would fall like, into that?
I don't think I'll do another Final Fantasy again. Like this one's probably killed the interest for me. Just wasn't it for me.
Yeah.
But like, I'm looking forward to being able to actually stop and go back and play some things I've missed now. And I think this is a good year to do it because it's pretty quiet at the moment, in terms of heavy hitters anyway, especially if you're a PlayStation fan, which isn't a bad thing, because I think there needs to be breathing room. And, you know, these things, games take longer to develop now than ever. And so, you know, I'm not so much complaining, because last year wasn't a backlog year at all. So now I feel like I've got time. Like, I don't think if we were doing the podcast, I would ever have thought, man, I think I might go back and play Fallout 4. And I think I've spoken about that on the podcast before, that I would love to go back and play it. But my data got deleted because my parents pulled the PlayStation, like turned the power off or something like that. And my data went corrupt. So I never got to play the DLC. But when this new update comes out this week, and with the show and everything, I'm like, I would actually love to go back and play Fallout 4 and do the DLC and all that sort of stuff. And part of that's because of the portal and like just the ease of being able to play it, and there being not as many stakes because it's something I've already played. And then part of that is because like I'm not a part of a conversation now to do that. So yeah, that's probably one thing that I'll notice will probably change. And I think it's for the better. Like, as much as I will miss the podcast, I think knowing that I'm just playing things because I want to play them and it's fun will be a little bit different.
I think the portal draws helps with the longer games as well. When you find the right type of longer game, like I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3, and that is so much fun on the portal because it is really pick up, put down. It's sort of turn-based in a way. So I can like stay on a turn for 20 hours as I turn off the portal and come back tomorrow, and the guy's just still in the same stance.
Have you made it to Baldur's Gate yet?
No, I'm still on Act 2. So yeah, I'm really like exploring everything. So, and it's been really like
40, 50 hours in.
Right. Yeah. It's hard to tell because when you play with the portal and you're just pausing I just put the portal down, it doesn't stop the game clock. Cause obviously my PlayStation downstairs is still running it, but then I'll go sleep, won't probably play it for another day and then pick it back up and it's sort of still there. So it's probably a long time.
Are you playing it on your lunch breaks?
No, not really. Like, I'll play it at nights, maybe before bed, or just, you know, over the weekend, try to find some free time here and there. But yeah, it is a pretty good stop start type of long form game where, you know, maybe even a game like Death Stranding is probably perfect because it's all condensed missions, right? Yeah, I can see like a game like Final Fantasy maybe harder to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it was more that like none of Final Fantasy was appealing to me either. Like the story wasn't there. The combat was fine or whatever. But like, when you finish playing with your portal, do you not put your PlayStation in rest?
Nah, I just press the button and Bob's your uncle, mate.
Yeah, that's like an OCD thing with me because I love to know how long a game's taken me. So I'm always like, oh, all right, I'm gonna go away for 10 minutes into rest.
But I think my PlayStation will auto rest after like 20 minutes of inactivity anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's what he tells
that does remind
environmentalists.
Me.
Yeah. Listen to the podcast.
I know. That does remind me. A game I did finish as well, I've started and finished, was Pentiment, which was one of the Xbox games that came over to PlayStation. And it was the first one, I believe, that came over along with Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush, and Grounded. And I loved it. Like, I think it's a 10 out of 10. Absolutely loved it. Played it all on my Portal. Do you guys know what the premise is?
It's an RPG. That's about it.
No, it's not really an RPG. It's a completely story-based game.
It's 16th century side-scroller, isn't it? That's,
yeah, so it's a 16th century side-scroller where you are a artist named Andreas, and you're living in this town finishing this manuscript for someone, and then a murder happens, and then you need to go and like talk to people in the town about things they saw, things they heard, about people's motivations, and that sort of thing. And then you've got to like put your evidence together to who you think the murderer was. And it's a three-act story. And so like you figure out who the murderer was,
Can you get it wrong or not?
No. I don't think you can get it wrong. I think you just... I won't spoil what happens, but it's whoever you present it to be. As long as your evidence is compelling, they like something happens to that person that you decide it is. And it's a three act thing. So you go away, like a year's pass, and then your character comes back to that town. And yeah, so it's all centered around that town. And it's about 15 hours, and it's completely story based. And it was so much fun. It's got an amazing art style. The music's great. The dialogue's really interesting, and the way that the game's actually paced and set up is brilliant. I really, really loved it. It was a game that I'm really glad I played. If anyone's keen on Pentiment, and they
what about Dave the Diver? Yeah. Which one is worth your time more?
Tough question, because I'm still early in Dave the Diver at the moment. I'd probably say Pentiment, but I reckon by the time I finish Dave the Diver, I would say that, because it is not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be like a fishing and sushi shop sim. That's really hard to say quickly.
What would you call it? What would you actually call it?
Well, because there's actually like a story going on. And so like there's a reason why you're diving down into this ocean part, this part of the ocean that you're diving into. And so like there's like a whole bunch of characters talking to you about what you're doing, and they're giving you missions to go and find things down there. So they'll give you equipment so you can finish other missions that people have given you. So there's a lot more going on. It's not just a sim like that. There's a bit more going on to it. So it's really enjoyable.
It's not all diving.
No, because it goes from literally being a fishing game, like you're underwater, to Diner Dash pretty much at nighttime. So you take all the fish you caught and go
prepared
in the kitchen. Yeah. People come to your shop, you set your menu, and then you've got to like pour tea for people, clear their plates, deliver their food.
Overcooked.
You've got to like hire staff. Overcooked. You've got to upgrade your gear. It's really cool. It is. It's not as hectic as overcooked. It's really cool.
I mean, you've convinced me, especially with Pentiment. I think it's only 16 hours. And that's, I mean, both of these, Jords, I'm assuming, are Portal friendly games.
I didn't play a second of Pentiment on the TV. Played it all on my Portal.
But you didn't play a second of Helldivers on the Portal.
I've tried it on my Portal, and it's just like trying to do your stratagems and stuff on the Portal. Doesn't
work. Hold on. Have we talked about Helldivers? You guys have been playing Helldivers. I haven't had a chance. How is it?
I think it's phenomenal. It's so much fun. It is such a fun game, especially it is designed for co-op, I guess. You know, the way stratagems, which are the sort of assist, you know, the game is very much centered around your loadout, and your loadout doesn't just include your weapon. It includes the artillery or support kill streaks, for lack of a better term, for those who probably haven't played Helldivers. You'd liken them to kill streaks. It's the game is sort of based around those and how you use them. But also the teamwork, because there are, you know, with each sort of map or mission you're in, there are a bunch of objectives to play. There is some reward for exploring. The enemies are tough, and there is a bit of coordination you need in terms of being able to complete this objective in the given time. And there is coordination on loadouts as well. Like, you know, we can't just be four individual people with our own individual loadouts. You could probably do a decent job, but there is so much power in actually complementing each other in the way you think. So I do really like the emphasis on team based. It's, I mean, if there's one criticism, I wish there was more team based stuff. Like I was talking just before about how I wish there was more support role stuff, and I'm kind of like, the funny thing is, I remember when we used to play like Modern Warfare 3 or Modern Warfare 2 together, like you guys would just get the kills and you guys are so good at that. And I always used to rock around with a black hat or a stinger black hat and black ops and stinger, because I would always take be, I always, there. Yeah, I love doing that and supporting and that sort of thing. And obviously Call of Duty is probably one of the worst to do that.
Like, who was your main in Overwatch? I thought you were Soldier.
Overwatch I changed. I became DPS. Like I loved McCree or Cassidy, I guess. And I really liked Soldier. But you know, I did find joy in playing your Symmetra's pre-nerf or pre-changes or your Mercies and healers and that sort of thing. But I did go to more DPS route in that game. But no, Helldivers is it's just a really good team-based game. I mean, Jordan, if you wanted to,
yeah, I don't know if you can compare it to another live service game, because in my opinion, this is the first true live service game in that you're not just like competing for a daily and then getting like a skin or a upgraded gun or anything like that. Like there is a essentially like a grid when you log onto the game and choose a mission, and all players are working on pushing back the enemy, the automatons and the terminids, I think they're called.
Yeah.
And pushing them back out of this galaxy, basically. And so there's a big percentage bar and it says how far back they've been pushed. And so everyone's working together to complete missions and raise that percentage bar up and push the automatons and terminids out. And essentially like every planet is, there's a few different terrains and that sort of thing. The missions are quite similar, but it doesn't take away from how much fun it is. Like doing things the same is fun. Doing things the same is okay as long as everything you're doing in that is fun. And I haven't had a dull moment in Helldivers so far. The only dull moment I've had actually is playing solo. So I tried playing completely on my own because I was like, might just do one mission here, try to raise my level a bit. And it was not fun. The solo experience was, dreadful.
Is it hard just in general, the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely proposes a challenge. Yeah, especially the automatons. The automatons are brutal.
But then I tried the bugs and the terminators on a harder difficulty as well, and they're bloody hard. Even though they are purely melee, like they can't, there's no real distance, I found it really hard. But what I'll say is, the game is genuinely hard. Like in terms of the difficulties, Dan, if you complete a mission on easy difficulty, you'll unlock the next difficulty, and then so in order to unlock the high difficulties, there are about 10 difficulties. And Dan, these difficulties, like obviously the higher the difficulty, the greater the rewards and that sort of thing. But man, like
what's the max extreme?
I think it's called like suicide mission or something. Yeah. Where it is, insane. The number of enemies, the strength they have. But
you've only got the three of you, don't you?
You got four.
Oh, you got four. Okay.
Yeah. So even the higher difficulties, Dan, that maybe halfway, you know, you're 5 out of 10 or 6 out of 10, found them genuinely difficult. But then
is
once
that
you
weren't
get
leveled,
used to
though?
It,
is there...
no. So I never. So the beauty, like Jordan can speak more to this. The beauty of the game is if this is your first time playing, Dan, and you jumped in. Let's say after playing 5 games, you know the mechanics, you know what to do, but you've just got your base loadout. You can still do very, very well on higher difficulties because if you just have the machine gun unlocked, stratagem and other things, you could do a really good job. So the one thing I really, 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 really love about Helldivers 2 is that you are not penalized, or that there is no upgrade in terms of equipment, like where your gun is a pea shooter on higher levels. There's nothing like that because the guns don't level. There are no levels. You can't upgrade your weapons. Right. So that means
your
weapon is
always...
So
what are you getting from the end of a mission?
So the main thing you can upgrade are the loadouts in terms of your stratagems, right? You can upgrade those or your support weapons.
What's that, kill streaks?
Yeah, kill streaks. Now there are...
You can unlock new kill streaks, which is you get with like one currency because there's about 3 or 4 different currencies going on.
Yeah. And
so how many can you bring in to a fight?
I think four. Yeah. And the other thing you can upgrade is there are other upgrades where like more passive abilities and that sort of thing. But also you can unlock new guns. That doesn't mean that you're upgrading your other guns. You're just unlocking new guns that are stronger, that are better, but you will never, there is no.
They're marginally like, better. They're not that, yeah. They're not like, yeah, they're not amazingly yeah. better. They're just a little bit better.
Is so, there classes? What,
no.
No.
You can but make you can your choose, own class. Like, yeah. yeah. Like you could be like, oh, I'm going to be a submachine gun and that sort of thing.
And you yeah. can be like a heavy armor that can't run as much, but maybe more armor or a lighter
person. So how
are
you playing support? Sorry, how are you playing support then?
So the stratagems I choose, these are your kill streaks. They're more support-based. So for instance, Jordan might choose one where there's an airstrike. I might choose one where it deploys mines. I might choose... On my support weapon, Jordan might choose more that, you know, aggressive ones. I might choose one that's a backpack that has supplies and ammo so that I can give it to you guys. Or I might choose a weapon that is purely to support you guys and that sort of thing rather than more DPS based. So there are, it's based around the loadout, but not in terms of the weapon. Like, you know, it's in terms of the sort of kill streaks or stratagems and also in terms of, yeah, the weapons you choose that are support based. There are stratagems that are like throwing in an energy shield that protects everyone, or you can give people ammo, which is really valuable because ammo does run out in your missions. There are airstrikes and orbital strikes, and there's like 40 different stratagems you can get. So it's pretty good. And one thing I will say is that when it's hard, one thing I really like about this is even though the game is hard, I never felt like when I died, this was annoying or cheap. I never felt like when I died, it didn't feel cheap. It felt genuine, like, okay, I deserved it. And the other thing is enemies don't feel cheesy or spongy. Like, you know, on high difficulties, it just means sponge, where enemies here tend to have, like, even on the highest difficulties, some enemies are one shot, right? Because the same enemies that are one shot on lower difficulties are still one shot. So the way they make the game harder in this game is not by making enemies with higher health. It's more that damage is increased. You know, you will cop more. Stratagems, I think, take longer to cool down. There will be higher classes of enemies that are armored and those sort of things. So it's. You know, when I think of a game like The Division, and if Dan was a level 20 and I was a level 2, if I played with Dan, my pea shooter would do nothing to a single low-level enemy. It would not even take a chunk off
it's
their
It's funny
health.
You say that, because I just platinumed Outriders. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
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 Fuck, did you get the double? Did you get the double?
Yeah, I got the double. Yeah. they're so spongy, those enemies. Yeah. It's worse than Division.
And here, terrible. Dan, like, even if this is the first time you play the game and I put you in a harder difficulty game, which you can't do because you have to unlock it, but let's say I did, you will still be able to one-shot a lot of the lower enemies. So you could still contribute in that way. And even with your stratagems, because you get your default ones, they still do heaps of damage on the higher level enemies. So you could still contribute really well. And I think the other thing I want to praise is the battle pass.
Sorry, before you do, how do you heal again? Just quickly,
you just press up.
You get stims, and yeah, they need to be resupplied through a. You can either find them on the map, because when you're on the map doing a mission, like there's a bunch of side objectives you can do. You can do exploration to find some of the currency and that sort of thing, and you can find ammo, resources, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Mike, what were you saying?
So yeah, I was just going to say the battle pass. So I find the battle pass incredibly rewarding. It's easy.
So you
to
bought
earn.
It.
No, this is the free tier. I'm talking about the free tier.
So there's a free one. There's like three or four. And
I guarantee
like
you both didn't buy it.
Nah.
No. I didn't buy it. But I will say I did have a look through the purchased one, and I actually didn't. It's not like Call of Duty where like all the insane stuff are behind this paid tier, but then the free tier gets sort of less good stuff. I found, there's cool armor. There's some cool weapons, but the free tier was just as rewarding. And through the free tier, you can earn currency and the battle pass currency, that the money currency, the microtransaction currency.
Yeah.
But the battle pass, it's incredibly rewarding. Like you can unlock it no problem. Like it's not hard. It's not grindy. There's just so much progression because that is the free tier. And they made this, it was really good in the way that like with Warzone, later on towards the end where I found the free tier still grindy, right? But they're trying to allure you into the paid tiers. But here it's like the free tier is for the free people. So like that's enough for them and there's a good progression and they've sort of, it's almost like they've designed it just for being free. So I found that really good. And the
you can actually get enough currency in the main, in the free one. I think they've worked it so there's almost enough that you can buy the paid one.
Yeah.
Really?
With the in-game currency, yeah.
And I think, the upgrade system is very meaningful. It's really good. And you earn a lot of currency really well. The only currency that's probably really hard is the samples. And they are ones to upgrade your stratagems or not your stratagems, but your ship.
They'll give you things like reduced cooldown on airstrikes, all that sort of stuff.
How many hours are you guys in?
I don't know.
I'm probably only like 10.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably a bit more than that. I just think it's really rewarding. I just love that because, you know, throughout this podcast, I hate where the way they make things more difficult is just by adding sponge. I hate it. But here, don't get me wrong, the higher armored enemies are spongier, but all of them have weak points. Like, I don't know. And there's always a weapon that is designed to kill them in two shots. There's always one, but it's just because you're limited by your own loadout, you can't have every weapon under the sun. For instance, if you have weapons that are good against the spongier enemies, well, you don't have an anti-tank weapon that can take out the tanks. But someone who maybe has a tank weapon, well, they've taken up a kill streak slot and they're probably not good against spongy enemies where there's heaps of them and you can mow them down. So it's really good in that way. Every enemy can be killed. There is a way to kill them in two or three shots. You can't be the jack of all trades because of the limitations of the loadout. So there is a way where you guys have to collaborate. For instance, I've started using a stratagem that drops two rocket launchers. So that takes up one whole slot. It drops off two rocket launchers. So that means that I can pick up one and someone else can pick up one, or I can pick up one, shoot it, and then use the other one. And that takes up one whole slot where someone might just have all airstrikes. But I found that really valuable because when the tank comes and you don't have a rocket launcher, it is very, very, very hard to kill. It takes a long ass time. Even kill streaks, some of the kill streaks can't even do much. So it's really good.
Have you guys been playing in a party, Jordan? You've been playing?
I've only played in a party. I did try to play solo a little bit. Will never do solo again. I might do like solo in a like public group and just like play a bit with the plebs.
But you've played with three friends?
Yeah.
And it's fun?
Yeah, so much fun. So much fun. Like just you go into extract and the time's running out.
Mm.
We've had like times where you get on with like half a second left. So just good laughs like that.
It's fun. Even the ragdoll, there's some funny moments because of it's just really good. I really like that game.
Out of nowhere.
Well, the beauty of this game is what I said. Like, if you have the right stratagems and the right weapons, you won't feel weak. Like, you can do, like, even players who aren't really shooter experienced, they can do a really good thing they can contribute really well, you know, by choosing the right stuff. So, I don't know. It's just, it's just really good in that way. I don't know. It's good design. It's really good design in that way where no one is like, yes, there could be a weakest link, but the weakest link still can contribute a lot. So, yeah.
Nice. So it sounds like it's a front runner.
For sure.
For this year.
What have you been playing, Dan?
As I said, I platinumed Outriders. I ended up platinuming Dragon's Dogma 2.
Wow, good one.
Yeah, that's
huge.
Probably the top of my list at the moment with Rebirth.
That's
I don't know which one.
Platinum.
Yeah, it took about 80 hours. Wasn't easy.
Good start.
But besides that, I've kind of haven't been playing too much. I've been taking a break before we get into, you know, ramp up the end of the year with from here on we got Stellar Blade, Hellblade 2, Black Myth, Star Wars Outlaws.
Yeah.
Elden Ring DLC. And then I'm sure there's going to be heaps of announcements. As soon as we end this podcast today, I'm sure there'll be some sort of announcement.
There was a rumored state of play to be happening in May.
Can you imagine if that as soon as we upload, they announce the showcase for PlayStation?
I do think it is news that usually drops on a Tuesday. I reckon if we look back, it is a lot. A Tuesday American time, Wednesday our time. It is news that for some reason drops on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Tuesday American time. Yeah.
Well, I'll always reach out to you and Vi if I'm ever doing a live stream, sort of reacting to any of these showcases.
Oh, I'd love to be a part of it. Yeah.
They're just at weird times. Sometimes you guys are at work or.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, especially around Summer Games Fest time, I'd love to do some stuff with you on the channel. Because, yeah, I think that's the stuff that is the best. I think, yeah, the regular committal stuff is what's made the podcast.
It's what we found fun. We love the announcements, didn't we? That's one of the best parts of the show.
Yeah. Oh, well, the announcements are my favorite time of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. June, July. Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we will miss E3. You know, we bagged it. We didn't. I don't think we. Since we started this podcast, I don't think there ever was an E3.
No, I think it was all Summer Games Fest.
Mate.
We never actually covered an E3.
E3 died.
Did we?
Dead.
Maybe we did.
I think.
Hold on. Let me look at our first episode date.
I don't reckon we did. I reckon it's all been Summer Games Fest.
Because
Keanu
came out in 2019, didn't he? Yeah,
no. No, because E3 2021, we did.
E3 21.
Episode
55. What was E3 2021?
I think that was when it was fully digital.
Oh, that's shit. I don't count that, mate. That's shit.
I know. Yeah.
That does not count.
Yeah. So then to me, E3's been the vibe, not the show. E3 to me was always the vibe. Because like we always would talk about like PlayStation's E3 showcase after they left E3, and it would just happen around E3 time, but wasn't connected to E3.
Yeah.
What was the biggest story, you think, from this whole podcast? What was the craziest news story you ever read? Was it Xbox?
I think it's the acquisitions.
Acquisition?
Right?
Of
ZeniMax or obviously Activision.
Oh, we covered that a lot.
Yeah, I can't think of anything bigger than that.
Activision one was huge.
We also never got a Splinter Cell game, but the entire time we covered the show.
Absolute joke.
That was probably the biggest story ever.
GTA 6 reveal, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't think of too many others. Hey, guys, by the way, I did want to bring this up. Did you see Cillian Murphy could be the villain of Far Cry 7?
I did hear that. I did read that. I instantly thought of our predictions.
Predictions.
Jordan, did you say Meryl Streep or something?
No. Not Judy Dench. The one from Fast and Furious.
Who is the one from Fast and Furious? Oh, I forgot her name.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah, Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yeah.
And I said Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
And then...
What did I say?
Kyle.
I can't even remember what I said.
Yeah.
Shit.
Hey, what do you reckon about the PS5 Pro stuff that's come out?
I saw some of the specs. It didn't look that impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought so. The same thing. Like, it just didn't look like a huge leap.
Nah. A lot of the numbers, this is how I read the numbers. Blah, 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 not 4K 60. That's all I read.
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be a way faster GPU, so... Does that mean you could run a performance and quality sort of, but yeah, like you said,
but the 4K fact that 60, no one said that it can makes me think no.
Yeah. There's
nothing
AI
definitive
stuff
about it. And I know it's not. Yeah. There. So I think it's called, what do they call it? It's PlayStation Super Sampling, something like that. And it's shortened to PSSD.
And it just allows you to, I guess it renders the frames in between to make it 60 FPS. It uses AI, if that's right.
Yeah, it's the same as
render,
like the. It's the same as the. Is it the Dell DSSR or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, I think this is like I didn't want the PS4 Pro until, like, I didn't get the PS4 Pro until God of War 2018 came out, and I was like, all right, well, my PS4 is chugging a bit now. They're getting a special edition console for God of War. And the Pro's there, let's go. Like, I'll upgrade now. So that might be the same territory. And if I'm being honest, if I keep playing my Portal as much as I will, I don't know if I'll need to upgrade to a pro.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that Cillian Murphy, I still don't believe that. I can't imagine he would be in that. It wouldn't make sense, would it?
I mean,
they'd
if you
need
got
to pay him so much money.
If you got Giancarlo Esposito, I don't know. They could get anyone.
Giancarlo, he's a B tier. Cillian
I would say Cillian is S tier.
Yeah, at the moment he's in the S tier, yeah, probably.
Okay. Because Cillian Murphy's a movie actor.
Not in skill. I just mean in status kind of thing.
Stature. Yeah.
And I think that's partly because Cillian Murphy is definitely a movie actor while Giancarlo is a TV actor.
Exactly.
Like Breaking Bad, The Boys. He was in a lot of stuff. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Don't get me wrong, I prefer him. I love him. But
yeah.
You know, like Leonardo's in that group with Cillian or Tom Cruise. And then
Leo's
last
proper movie star.
Yeah.
Do you see they reckon he's going to play, or he's been confirmed to play Frank Sinatra in a Martin Scorsese film? How sick.
That's a cool. Yeah, it's cool.
That is sickening.
Cool. Sickening? What do you mean?
I'm so excited for that. Frank Sinatra. Okay. Is like one of my favorite. I just love Frank Sinatra.
I thought you were going the other way. I thought you were pissed.
No. And then I love Leo as well. I get so excited about Leonardo DiCaprio movies. I finally watched Blood Diamond. What a movie that is.
Oh, I am from Rhodesia.
Great movie. Yeah, but
such a good movie.
Keanu was, he's an S tier, I would say.
Or Keanu Reeves. No way.
No,
he's
no.
A.
Nah.
Are you kidding? Really?
I would say
I think he's,
am I in the
I think
movie
he's,
world?
No, I, A. He's definitely A.
The only reason I would say B or A is because
he's not B. Come off.
Whilst Giancarlo and Leo, you're right in terms of status, but their acting ability is great. I don't think Keanu's and got this amazing acting ability. I love him.
I'm not talking about acting.
I think
that's what I'm saying.
I reckon his status,
celebrity status, is what we're talking about.
No. But I understand what Vic's saying. But I think his like magnetism in Hollywood at the moment is bumping him up.
Yeah.
Like who? He's been Keanu. He's been cast as Shadow, and the internet lost its mind. Anytime Keanu gets attached to anything, people lose their mind.
Yeah. Kit Harington, he's a B tier. He might even be C tier.
Nah, Dan, when he was on Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, he went up to S tier, mate.
Hey, he was in Pompeii, all right?
The Rock is S tier.
I'm not talking about acting ability.
I'm talking about celebrity status.
Yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying. But that's, Keanu, I get that.
Giancarlo is a much better actor than The Rock. Don't get me wrong. Miles ahead.
You clearly haven't seen The Tooth Fairy.
Oh, I have.
Or The Game Plan is actually a good movie.
Man, I loved all those films when I was younger. They were fun.
Anyway.
I haven't watched them since, but they're probably shit. But I liked them when I was a kid.
The Game Plan. It's really good.
Yeah.
Where would you put Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel is A tier, I would say.
Isn't he the most followed on Twitter or something?
He just uploads videos of him absolutely stoned out of his mind and a
Facebook.
Wife beater.
Facebook.
Yeah.
He might even be S. I don't know. He's pretty recognizable. He's pretty famous.
He is pretty famous.
I know. He was so recognizable in Guardians. I loved him. The way he delivered those lines, man.
My favorite Vin Diesel movie is The Pacifier. It's a classic.
All right. As we start to wrap up, guys, what's one game that you hope to see in the next 5 years?
Splinter Cell.
Dream game that we can hope for.
A new Splinter Cell, a Metal Gear Solid 1 remake from the ground up in the Fox engine, Hideo Kojima coming to take the reins of Metal Gear Solid again. Ugh. I don't know.
So you're in fairyland, yep.
I don't know. I have a few. I have a few that like are personal ones for me, and I have a few that I think just make sense. So one that I think makes sense, and I've talked about this a little bit before, not with this studio, is that Larian have come out and said they're doing two new projects.
Yeah.
Mm.
Personally, I think we should shelve any idea of remaking or remastering Knights of the Old Republic And I think they should come out and make a canonized RPG in the style of Knights of the Old Republic and call it Knights of the High Republic. And like, that's what we people can play now instead of going back or remastering Knights of the Old Republic. That would be something I think would be really cool and would make a lot of sense. Layering have come out and said they don't really want to do licensed stuff for the time being, so that's probably a huge barrier, but that would be really sick.
Speaking of Larian, I'd love them to do Lord of the Rings, but basically Baldur's Gate gameplay and everything, but Lord of the Rings.
I would love to see some sort of Lord of the Rings game, and this sounds silly, but akin to Lord of the Rings Return of the King on the PS2. That game was so much fun.
That is a great game.
That game is a great game. Fantastic.
Which game?
Return of the King on PS2.
Yeah.
Just the battles felt awesome. The set pieces you had to do in there where like you're taking down an Oliphant and stuff like that. Awesome. Great stuff. And then selfishly, Last of Us Part 3.
I hope that series doesn't go to 5. Let me tell you.
I think they'll do one more and then that'll be it.
I think games like Baldur's Gate 3, like, I have all these dreams about Metal Gear and Splinter Cell, whatever. I just want BG3 quality games. Like, I just want that the depth, the love and passion put into a game, no monetization, microtransactions. Although I do see an enjoyment for that space too, like Helldivers 2, right? So I just want the passion. Like, it's just not like where the art is put into the game and where art and like game come together sort of thing. Yeah. Where you got a voice. I don't want just a game designed. Like, I just feel like in the last few years, a lot of the heart of games has been taken away. They've become very heartless, product based. Like, I'm talking about your Suicide Squads. I'm talking about your Far Cries. I'm talking about these sort of games that are just so blatantly bad, right? That where the heart of the what the game is just not there.
And Saints Row is one.
Saints Row. I just want where they're just making it for money's sake, you know, where the art and the passion hasn't been there. So that's what I want. That's all I want.
On that, what you're touching on, Vic, with the art and the passion. Since this podcast, we've been here for the whole PS5 journey. What would you say are some of those games for PS5? For me, it is Baldur's Gate, God of War.
Baldur's Gate's definitely Ragnarok. One.
Yep. Hitman, I love Hitman. I always sing their praises. And I want to correct something. I gave Returnal a 9, 10 out of 10. I still think about it. I still think about that experience.
Returnal was phenomenal. Such a phenomenally designed game. So much fun, Dan. I completely forgot about Returnal. I think that's definitely one. Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man. Yes. I know Spider-Man 2, some people, but I still think it was a fun and great experience.
Would you put it right up there with those? I probably wouldn't put it right up there.
I wouldn't up there, but in terms of a great experience of what we want, a Horizon Forbidden West. I had my problems with it, but I thought, what a great experience. That is what we want to aim for. But if you're talking about the cream of the crop, Dan,
Elden Ring,
God of War, Elden Ring, Returnal.
Yeah.
You know, Village, Resident Evil for you guys.
In terms of heart, maybe not so much quality, but in terms of heart, Sea of Stars.
Yeah. Even something like Astro's Playroom.
That was a cool game. That was a cool
Cyberpunk
game.
After the changes.
Yeah, Cyberpunk's Hades. In a good state.
I think Hades might have been. Oh, no, Hades was PS5.
Death Stranding.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Deathloop?
Oh, I love Deathloop. Yeah, I think I was a little too harsh on Deathloop. I think I was a little too harsh because Deathloop rocks.
Is there anything else you want to correct, guys? I want to correct that I do like Horizon Forbidden West. I've been very harsh over the years, but it is a great game. I want to put that out there.
I want to correct something. What are some of the hot takes I've had? I can't even think.
Can I correct one of you two?
I did say Helldivers would flop. Got that completely wrong. So
No one thought there was going to be this.
No one thought.
Yeah, no, and I'm really happy for them. I really am. Same. Really happy for them. I think it's great. Besides those two, I think everything else I haven't really swayed on, haven't really changed.
Last of Us Part 2?
No, I'm still a believer in it. Yeah.
No, I mean, if I get
criticized for it, so be it. I still think it's a really great game.
Oh, I think it's a phenomenal game, but I did have my, I think, I don't know what I gave it in the spoiler cast, but.
But I think it loses point. I think you gave it a 9. You gave it an 8 and then you bumped it to a 9 recently. But
I thought you gave it a 7.
It is very depressing. So it's not up there like when Elden Ring and Returnal, they're really fun. I wouldn't call Last of Us Part 2 like that sort of fun.
But I think, I mean, the only problem I had with The Last of Us 2 is the way they did the story. Not even the story. It was just the way they did it. Like the whole Joel stuff, I'm happy with that.
The positioning.
Just the bit, you know, why split the game up into two parts? Why not interweave it? I still think that would have been so much better because he didn't need, there was no OMG moments, you know, so it didn't need to be.
What game has split up two characters like that? Well,
I still disagree on that. I still think the story would nowhere near have hit if they did it that way. I think the story works so well. Well, no, they don't get me wrong. The story would have worked fine, but I think the way we felt about it would have been
We
would not have felt the way that we did at the end. Like, I wouldn't be at the end going, I don't want to do this as
correct.
Ellie.
That's exactly
I don't want to
correct.
Do this.
Yeah.
If they did it together.
But then I think
okay.
I do. Yeah, okay. Let's not get it.
We can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I still think it's a phenomenal game. The storytelling's great. Yeah, I don't know what I would change, any hot takes I had. I mean, I feel like everything I've said, I still agree with.
Are you the same, Jordan? You don't want to correct anything on the final? You stand by everything?
My opinions on Cyberpunk have changed a little bit. I still don't think, like, I was pretty harsh on it when it came out. Because I was someone who wasn't excited for it because I just didn't get it when it was looking to come out. And yeah. Since then, I have played it and finished it, and I've made my way through part of the Phantom Liberty DLC. I still don't think it's that special. Like, I don't see it as one of those games. And even with all the fixes it had, I'm not including all the problems it had in my opinion of it now because I never experienced those problems.
Yeah.
I think I said this to one of you guys the other day. I'm like, at the end of the day, is it just a bit more of a polished and more fleshed out Watch Dogs? Because they make it seem like you can do all these things. And like, yeah, you can, but it all sounds a lot more interesting than it actually is.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I really do.
So like, I think I was a little bit too harsh on Cyberpunk originally. I played it and did enjoy it. I'd probably give it like a 7.5. Yeah, I didn't experience what other people found so special.
It's not so much the gameplay that people find special. It's the characters. And it's the world. That's the main.
Yeah. And like, I did enjoy the characters. I did enjoy the characters and I did enjoy the story. And I really enjoyed like running around as like a cyber ninja. That was the way my build took place. And I enjoyed it a lot more when I did that because I think I was playing it too much of just a first person shooter. So like switching it up to doing that and using a sword and that sort of thing.
Did you beat Phantom Liberty?
No, so I made it through a little bit of Phantom Liberty and then I got caught up with other games. So I do want to get back to it. It's still on my PlayStation.
Yeah. No, I recommend it.
Dan, what was your dream game that you'd want?
My dream game?
Yeah.
Fuck me. I think it's time for Uncharted.
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on. It's been 8 years. That's a pretty long time.
My question, do you want Uncharted to become like a legacy title where Uncharted isn't tied to the Drakes, or do you want to see a continuation of the Drakes?
I think you got to go with Cassie. Cassie Drake. Or and potentially still bring in Sully. And I think you still need Nolan North. You still need Drake in there somewhere. Like if it's just a cameo or something. Because he is the game. So I don't think you can fully leave the Drakes. I don't think. who knows? You know, there's rumors they're making one, but I think it's
time. I would love to see them move away, like keep on the Uncharted name, but find new cast of characters, because I think you run the risk of turning into. It might be a bit of an over dramatization, but you risk turning into Star Wars and bringing characters back just for the sake of it and that sort of thing. A hot take I did have, and I don't know if it's a hot take, but I feel like being probably the biggest God of War fan on this podcast, I think about God of War often.
Oh, God of War Egypt. That's my dream game, mate.
Yeah, no, that would be good. But my hot take that I sort of have is the questions that God of War 2018 asked. Were they more satisfying than the answers that Ragnarok gave us?
You're onto something, Jules. I think you're very much onto something.
I loved Ragnarok, but I definitely walked away feeling I don't want to say unsatisfied because it makes it feel like I didn't enjoy the experience, because I definitely did. But I definitely walked away going, I wish the answers were better.
Yeah, I agree. For instance, Jormungandr, I thought nothing was really done with him. We saw him go back in time, but it was a background thing.
And it was like that. I missed it. I completely missed it. It happened. Wow. It was only you until you told me.
Yeah.
I went and Googled after. I'm like, when did this happen? When did he get knocked back?
Or even the, you know, who rang the bell back when Atreus was sick? Or yeah, I agree with you, Jules. I agree. And that could just be because Corey wasn't the director,
Maybe they overpromised originally, and you know, maybe some things are never meant to be answered. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I think about that a little bit. Just some of the answers we got. And it's bad because you don't want to go turn into like, well, they're not the answers we wanted, so that's why it's bad.
But
I just think like, I think it definitely at times turned into keeping up with the Asgardians. That's like a bit weird.
That's so true. That's such a good analogy.
I want one more hot take. I've got to have one more. Fallout show, couldn't get into it.
Wow.
I haven't started it yet.
Three episodes in, put it away.
I think
get into it.
Someone said it only gets good after six episodes, Dan.
Oh, my God. That is ridiculous. I hate when people say that.
Yeah,
the consensus I've heard is three. Like the first three are like, fine, but then there's a bit of a mystery built up from there that gets good.
It should not take six episodes for me to get into a show. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. You're right.
I respect it. I love Jonathan Nolan, but I just couldn't get into it. So I put it away and that's it.
Yeah. Is what it is. I've watched the first like 20 minutes with my wife. So I don't know whether something will continue, but if not, I'll probably continue it on my own. But yeah.
Seems interesting so far. Can play New Vegas, mate.
I know. New Vegas, what a game.
Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap up?
Oh, it's been a journey, I think, from when Dan and, you know, when we started this and going through COVID and all that and our gaming journeys and the way we started this and, man, 176 episodes. And, yeah, it's kind of sad that it's finishing, but kind of feels right. And I don't know. It's just funny the way I was when I started with gaming, like with this podcast, like where I barely played a game, but I just loved the news and was talking. Now I feel like I'm playing so much more and engaging with it more. Yeah, I don't know. It's been such a phenomenal journey, and just being, I don't know, I've just felt a lot closer to you guys through this whole podcast as well, right? Like this is the way we've kept in touch every week, and that sort of thing. So it's just been a phenomenal ride, and the listeners, and you know, there's so many consistent listeners who message us and you know always ask questions. So it's just been a really great journey.
I have had a ton of messages. Where the hell is the latest episode? you got one.
I don't know if you got to title it. What are you going to title it? The final episode, I guess.
I should go for one of your classics. Like, you will not believe what we announce.
The end of the podcast.
Give me one of your clickbait titles.
You got to have like the classic Watch Mojo thumbnails with just like arrows pointing to stuff.
Yeah. That's it. Is this the end, or is it a huge fight podcast potentially ending forever or something like that?
Just have like Vike's face pointing with an arrow towards like slowly morphing into Kojima.
I might just call it our final episode, I think.
Yeah, I think
yeah, with a full stop. Episode. Do you know what's so funny? It's when I always see the clickbaity titles with podcasts or YouTube shows, is like, is this the end of the channel or end of the show forever? Like Vsauce would do it, or you know, the
MKBHD, you know, it's not the end.
You know, it's not the end, but then we could do it and it's actually the end. We would be the ones, the first one to actually, this is the end, but no.
It's been my fun, final guys. Thoughts. My final thoughts were it probably doesn't go set enough that the heavy lifting Dan does to get this episode out to everyone, whether it's, you know, setting us up on Spotify, whether it's getting our socials going, whether it's getting the thumbnails, editing the episodes, all that sort of stuff. Like Dan did the vast bulk of the heavy lifting when it came to that. So the show would definitely not be possible without Dan. So all praise needs to be put towards
him. I feel like Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40 putting me over John Cena.
I know, we're putting you over big time style. You're finishing the story.
He finished the story.
Dude, even my dad watched WrestleMania. I went around there and he goes, dude, Cody Rhodes. I'm like, I know.
Yeah,
he hasn't watched it in ages and he actually got invested in it. So
yeah, Vike watched it, didn't you, Vike?
Dude, when Stephen Amell fought Stardust, it was insane, man. I heard it's like the best WrestleMania ever because of all the guests.
They call it the Avengers Endgame of wrestling because all the John Cena and Undertaker, all the guys came out.
Yeah. The Rock.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I mean, I'll second what Jordan said, Dan. You did everything. It was 99% you. We just joined the Zoom call and spoke while you did all the editing, all the thumbnails. All the podcasts, all the admin.
We've all got to play. We've all got to. We did some research when we could. I think it dwindled away as the years went on.
It did, and that was a product of just, you know, how we sort of felt short on time and that sort of thing. But yeah, Dan, you are one phenomenal guy.
Thank you. Our reviews were always pretty good, I got to say.
Yeah,
wasn't too many negative reviews.
No,
so I think we had a good run. Yeah, no, thanks for everyone for listening. If you want to send the guys a message, just hit me up on Twitter or Instagram because then they don't really have socials. If you want to send us a message, just, Dan Allen Gaming anywhere. And if there's anything you want to say or our email, and it's been a pleasure to serve you. Final thoughts? It's been a hell of a ride, boys. We've had fun. Oh, by the way, the Fantasy Critic, who won?
But it's still in April.
We'll never know. So I'll take the win.
Mike, you've had so many games come out already.
I know. I've had most of my games come out.
And you're not even that far ahead of us.
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Like, what the hell? But all my games are like 80s. So Alone in the Dark was 64. That was kind of sad.
And yeah, but you had
most of my games are 80s.
Well, that was Dan. Somehow, Dan had Suicide Squad.
Somehow Power World was 71. What an idiot.
That's funny. No, it's been a hell of a ride, guys. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you all. For anyone who's listens to every episode, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And take care, everyone. We will see you.
You later.
Later.
Later.